We're ready for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
I call shot like a boss.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body.
For all those who saw Tom Brady hold up four fingers last night when it would have been play number five, I'm thinking the same thing just happened here. I mean, we were out in the halls, and Ron is saying he puts up one finger, which I guess meant 1 minute till we go on the air. I thought it meant three, so we just stayed out there chatting, and nobody seemed to worry about it. And then all of a sudden, Ron put up a fist, and we came running in to get on the air.
Well, the one finger was a middle finger, so I think that was our sign to get in the seats.
Ron's tough with those fingers, isn't
well,
he?
Well, you know what happened when the Raider gear comes out?
I was showing him my Raiders swag.
I can't be nice to her anymore, so now you just be happy you have your mic on.
I'm in this. This is what Darren Waller wore on Hard Knocks. I just happened to get one gifted to me.
Raider?
Yeah.
Well, let me just offer this.
They are pirates, you know.
For inquiring minds who want to know more about the gloss, my co-host here, she usually is at the height of all fashion. Beautiful clothes, perfectly coiffed outfits. She comes in high-minded. Am I right, Ron? She looks great.
No, she does. Yeah.
Until.
I mean, it's as if she's walking right off a runway out of Paris.
She looks stunning.
Oh, my BFFs. This morning.
However, today and some days, she comes in a long black gown with a Raiders emblem on the front chest.
A poncho, if you will.
It is a poncho. I forget what these are called, but it's even got a hood.
It's almost a one piece, isn't it?
It's like a onesie. It's like a Raider onesie.
With a hoodie, no less.
Look at lamb's wool on the other side with an emblem. Gotta love it. Repping my boys, even when it cuts into my fashion sense. It's all right.
No words.
Well, you do have words about your Chargers, who have made a quarterback change. And when we come back, we're going to unpack what this means for San Diego. And frankly, that rookie quarterback class.
L.A.
Of course.
Oh,
the
my
Chargers.
Goodness, boss. You never make a mistake.
Well, Ron really cares. He's sensitive about that. He would never correct me on any other topic, but on that one, of course. But these quarterbacks, you've got Herbert, you've got Joe Burrow's looking really, really good, and Tua is still on the sideline. Will all that change? We'll unpack that when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
In the gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Carla, you may not believe it, but holiday season is rapidly approaching.
Say it's not so.
It is coming, and you need to take a minute to check out homefields.com. Homefields.com. Homefields has more than 160 customized sports stadiums and arenas, and they're handcrafted. And they will ship them to you for free. Homefields.com is the perfect destination for the sports fan in your life. I personally have one in my office. As you've seen, the Fenway Park Stadium replica in my office, and I love it. And you'll love the stadiums as well. Get your favorite stadium. Go to homefields.com and enter promo code SPORTSMAP upon checkout and get a good discount that way. Go to homefields.com. A great gift for the holiday season. You're ready for that, aren't you?
Ready.
What you want is that new Las Vegas Stadium that the Raiders have built.
I want a little replica of the Death Star.
Yes.
Complete with the Al Davis torch. Can't miss that.
Gotta love that. All right. One big development in the NFL has been the play of the rookie quarterbacks. You had Burrow going number one, Tua number five, and Justin Herbert number six overall in the draft. Herbert named the starter for the Chargers. Something that warmed the heart of Ron Culver over there. He'd seen enough of Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor, of course, the victim of an errant shot. Poor guy. Tyrod Taylor has been a good soldier in the NFL, played pretty well, but never well enough to really cement a starting role. He got injured, and Herbert's come on and played very well.
Well, poor Tyrod Taylor got concussed in Cleveland as the starting quarterback. Baker Mayfield steps in. rest is history. Goes to the Chargers. Gets it, is getting an injection for sore ribs. The team doctor punctures his lung. He sits out. Justin Herbert takes over. The guy has not picked a lucky Shamrock.
No,
what
he
is going to happen to Tyrod Taylor?
Right.
I mean, I think, Ron, you brought up a point, and I'd love for you to talk about it again, what you think Anthony Lynn's thinking of with Justin Herbert. Was this just a yesterday light bulb that went off?
No, I don't think it was a yesterday light bulb. I think everything is premeditated. And I think it was a situation where
he was hedging his bets a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he's a coach of a team that right now has a losing record year after year because they haven't done exceptional, or he hasn't brought the team back to prominence when Phillip Rivers was in his heyday there. There's a lot of times where his head's being called for. You know, he's on the hot seat all the time. I think he should be one of those coaches who is safe. But I think with Tyrod Taylor going down, and then you're inserting a rookie quarterback earlier than you had probably planned to. Sure. This was a way to say, I'm not committing to him fully, just in case Justin Herbert's not the guy. I mean, he could have very well came in, played just like a rookie, especially with no preseason. You never really got to see what he can do against NFL talent. But the fact is that after three games, Herbert's performed well. And well enough, I think, that he deserves a starting job. And you can't go back, because if he is your future quarterback, that's who you got to move forward with.
Well, I thought he looked great against the Buccaneers.
He obviously
got them out to a big lead. Tom Brady worked some magic late there. Herbert did make the one pick late, but there he is, starting one of his first games in the NFL and doing very, very well. So I think that's the right call for the Chargers.
Agreed.
It is interesting over in Cincinnati, Joe Burrows has really impressed me. He just seems so poised in that pocket. Of course, the number one pick overall coming out of LSU. The question about him coming out of college was that he was really only a one-year wonder. He'd only had that one great season for LSU, but he's having a very good season as a rookie for Cincinnati.
Well, and in fairness to Joe Burrow, he was at Ohio State sitting behind a couple great quarterbacks,
yep,
including Dwayne Haskins. But so he didn't get to LSU until late. And you got to laugh at Nebraska, who his brother played for and his dad played for. And Nebraska told him no two or three times. That he went back, you know, when he was going to leave Ohio State. And then Scott Frost said, oh, no, thanks. I've got my guy.
Right.
Scott Frost is kicking himself in the booty about now. So, Joe Burrow, you're right. He was a one-season wonder. And what a wonderkin he was, actually. Got his first win last week in the NFL against Jacksonville, 33-25. He became the first rookie ever to pass for over 300 yards in three consecutive games.
Well,
we've talked,
it's very impressive. And we've talked about how the context matters so much to a rookie quarterback, the surrounding cast. And he does have some pieces there.
It's not bad.
And he's got a coach who understands how to develop a quarterback.
In Zach Taylor, right.
It just feels like he's in the right place. If I were a Bengals fan, I would be greatly heartened by what I've seen from Joe Burrow. I think the ceiling is very, very high. His ability to process stuff in the pocket, to get the ball out of his hands quickly, or then when not able to get the ball out of his hands quickly, to roll out by time and keep his eyes downfield is very, very exceptional for a rookie.
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned Zach Taylor. He does understand what he's got in Joe Burrow, because I think it was the Cleveland game. It was one of the night games where he passed. I mean, some unbelievable. I mean, the amount of passing plays that were called. Hey, that's Burrow's strength. Call those passing plays.
Yep. Yep.
So I love that. I mean, that's what has not happened with Deshaun Watson in Houston.
Well, when you look around the NFL, you've got young quarterbacks getting on the field quickly. Burrow, of course. Herbert now. Tua is the question mark in my head. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, we've all known that he's a placeholder. It would only be a question of when Tua would take over. It does appear, by all accounts, that Tua is healthy. Remember, it wasn't that long ago, maybe 6 months ago, people were talking about maybe he needed a red shirt year to get fully healthy, that his hip needed time. But it appears he's healthy, and he could go into play. The question is, when? Does Brian Flores pull the trigger? Does he bring in his rookie quarterback, knowing that Tua is the future? Isn't it time to develop him?
I don't know that he's completely healthy. And why would you risk that right now? I don't know. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing not too badly right now.
Well, Dolphins sitting at 1-3. Obviously, if he's not healthy, this is not up for debate. But we are at a place where it's just so clear that Tua is the future. I'd love to see him get some reps. Love to see him on the field. And when you look at what the rookie quarterbacks are doing, I mean, Burrow is doing it after 1 year of starting as a college starter. Tua had multiple seasons with Alabama on the field and demonstrated high level of play. He seemed like a guy who's ready to come in if healthy. Anyway, it's very interesting. Fitzpatrick recently came out and he said, look, I know that my job security really for me is a week-to-week proposition. And I've got to go out there and prove it every single week. And he went on to say, with Tua, I know what my role is. I know that I'm keeping the seat warm for him. I know the talent that he has, and I'm excited, and I will be excited whenever he gets his opportunity. And I feel like I'm going to play a big part in that. It does position Fitzpatrick as the perfect guy to be there, to be the placeholder, and he does perform at a high level on some occasions. The only issue with Fitzpatrick has been consistency. He can certainly play at very high levels for certain stretches.
Yeah, no, and he's the perfect guy for Tua to sit behind. And maybe what Brian Flores is doing is taking a look at the model that happened in Kansas City, where Patrick Mahomes, very talented, very NFL-ready, as is Tua, sat behind an Alex Smith for almost an entire season. He didn't go in until maybe one of the last two games.
Yep.
And you look at that versus a Dwayne Haskins for the Washington football team.
Right.
Because he just got benched. You know, Ron Rivera said, that's enough. And he said, you know, he basically did not have enough time to learn a new system. Jake Allen, former A&M and then U of H Cougar quarterback, is going to get the start.
Or Kyle Allen,
Sunday.
Right.
Kyle Allen,
yes.
I'm sorry. Kyle Allen, he's going to get the start. Alex Smith is going to be the backup.
Love that.
Behind Kyle Allen. I mean, how great is that? He hasn't played since 2018 when he broke his leg. But the failure of Dwayne Haskins in Washington, I don't think that's because of Dwayne Haskins. I think it's because of the situation. So maybe Brian Flores is looking at Kansas City as the model of how to do it and Washington as how not to. Do you put your guy out there when he hasn't had enough time and you're not completely sure about the pieces around to make him a success?
Boy, that Washington football team, look at them. They gave up a ton of draft capital to get RG3 a few years ago and then a ton of draft capital to get Dwayne Haskins. And it looks like they still don't have a franchise quarterback.
They don't even have a name.
Well, that's another matter.
So if we can't have a name, how can you get a franchise quarterback? Yeah, it's pretty much a mess in Washington. And, you know, let's say right now, I mean, the fact that Ron Rivera is still coaching, he's going through intense cancer treatment. And it's really wearing him out. And the guy is on the sidelines and he's at practice. And it's pretty amazing. You noted something pretty cool with Ron Rivera.
Well, it was great. They, in the empty stadium world that we have, you can put up faces and images of people. And last week before the game, there were about 450 faces placed in the stadium that were friends and family of Ron Rivera's. And how emotional and heartwarming that must have been for him to come on the field and see that sea of faces of people who have supported him over so many years.
He was really touched. Mm-hmm. I got to see that pregame, and that was very, very cool. So, you know, he's got a lot on his plate aside from the fact that he's playing for a team with no name. They can't figure out their quarterback situation. He's got a lot going on in Washington. Let's not even get into Dan Snyder, but wow.
Yeah, he's got a great defensive front. That's really the strength of that team.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Ryan Leaf.
Yes.
You may remember.
He's a Pac-10 guy.
A Pac-10 guy, and we're going to talk to him about some college football. We'll talk to him about some NFL football. We'll talk to him about Justin Herbert at the Chargers, who, of course, the Chargers is Ryan Leaf's old team. So it'll be it'll be Ryan Leaf when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Carla, I have a quick question for you.
Ask away.
Do you need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project?
Could you see it on my face?
I could. O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, the professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Sports Map Radio Network is longtime friend and former NFL quarterback Ryan Leaf. How are you, Ryan? Welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, David, Carla. Good morning.
Good to have you, Ryan.
Ryan, would love to ask you about the young quarterbacks in the NFL. We were talking about Burrows and Herbert and ultimately Tua joining the field. Who's impressed you the most so far?
Well, Joe Burrow has been exactly what he is promised, I guess, what we saw last year. He came in, he was named captain by his veteran teammates, and he's just gone out and done everything he possibly can. The team's not very good, but they've been able to be in every game they've been in. Justin Herbert, you know, was named the starter this week. He, too, has done a tremendous job. He's won over his teammates. Again, tough break for Tyrod Taylor. As, again, an injury actually kicks him out of the starting lineup like it was in Cleveland. And now, because of a doctor's mishap, he's going to have to ride the pine behind this great rookie in L.A. here. But, you know, the rookies are doing a heck of a job coming into the league. They've been doing well for the last few years, and it just continues the trend with those two this season.
Yeah, Ryan, you bring up a great deja vu situation for poor Tyrod Taylor. What happens to him now? What do you think? I mean, he's going to ride the pine this season. What happens to him next season? Is he good enough to be a starting quarterback?
Well, clearly Anthony Lynn thinks so. Mm-hmm. He named him the starter, but they also went out and got a rookie quarterback. So, you know, everywhere he's gone, he's always been replaced, but he's always been a leader and a winner. So we'll see. I think he has a lengthy career in this league as a career backup. If he gets another chance to start somewhere, I mean, as you watch Ryan Fitzpatrick continue to do it too, I think Taylor is in similar places as that.
Yeah, great point. Okay, Ryan, you and I are both Pac-12 people. Well, actually, Pac-10. I don't even want to say that because of my age. But let me ask you about former USC quarterback Sam Darnold, the guy deer in the headlights in New York. What in the world is going on with the Jets? And do you think Darnold, aside from the lack of pieces, the coaching situation in New York, does he have what it takes to have a good NFL career? And what needs to happen for him to succeed?
Well, I think he needs to be away from that franchise. That's the problem. Sam Darnold and Josh Allen work out together every offseason with Jordan Palmer out in Orange County. And I went down to talk to Joe Burrow before the draft this year. And I watched them work out. And Sam Darnold, I wouldn't say he doesn't look head and shoulders above Josh Allen, but his throwing motion, his arm strength, all that is as comparable or better than Josh Allen. It's about the team concept. And what Coach McDermott in Buffalo has done is he surrounded Josh Allen with some great players. The Stephon Diggs trade has made huge dividends for Josh Allen. Sam Darnold has nobody. Has nobody there available to him. You know, I remember when Sam Darnold was coming out, I said, do whatever you can to make sure you don't go to Cleveland, Sam. And what ended up happening is he didn't. He ended up going to the Jets, and the exact same thing happened. He went to a place that had a systematic failure. Adam Gase is not the coach that needs to be there. They have a great opportunity to go get an offensive-minded guy who does innovative things. Eric Bieniemy is going to be out there next season. So we'll see. But this is not the Sam Darnold problem in New York.
Agreed.
We're talking to Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback. Okay, we talked about Sam Darnold at the Jets. What about Daniel Jones with the Giants? Which of those two guys is going to get their career on track?
Yeah, you know, it's tough when your team struggle, but the good part about what Daniel Jones has going for him is he plays in the NFC East, where a team obviously could make the playoffs at 6-10 or 7-9 this year without skipping a beat. So, I mean, if you're a division-winning quarterback, you know, things look up, even if it's in New York. But, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. They've replaced their head coach. They removed their veteran and franchise quarterback in Eli Manning. They placed a lot of trust in Saquon Barkley, who I think is a great player. But, you know, running backs aren't what stirs the drink anymore. It's the quarterback and its skill position players at the wide receiver position. And so they need to improve on that. and, you know, give Joe Judge some time. But, you know, New York's a tough place to be, except up in the Capitol in Buffalo right now, that's for sure.
Coming into this year's NFL draft, is Trevor Lawrence the most impressive quarterback prospect we've had come out in a number of years?
I think so. I mean, I think the next closest version of that is probably Andrew Luck.
Yep.
In terms of ready to play, maturity, ability, all those things. He's going to step in and be your leader. He's not incredibly flashy. You know, Justin Fields for me is an interesting concept, right? Justin reminds me a lot of Cam Newton, but has some flashes of, you know, previous Heisman Trophy winners and Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, and the fact that he can throw the ball well, but his feet really allow him to be something different. So, you know, that could be something in a team that were able to move up and get Justin Fields after Trevor Lawrence goes to whoever. I think they'd be in a positive spot as well.
Ryan, you bring up Justin Fields, and, you know, we've yet to see him. It's going to be week six this week in college football, and Big Ten hasn't been on the field yet. So he's yet to be determined what he does this year, even though we know his history. What about two quarterbacks that we have seen and who are looking so good is Miami's Derek King, who is a U of H transfer, and Florida's Kyle Trask, also from the Houston area. Give me your take on these two.
Well, Derek King, I remember when he decided to sit down after four games last year. I was actually doing a radio show the moment the breaking news happened, and I remember telling my co-host, I said, he's doing this not to come back to Houston next year. That's what they were telling everybody.
Right.
He's doing this to go to a higher profile place because of his ability. You know, he had done something only Tim Tebow had done in the college football realm in terms of scoring touchdowns on his feet and through the air consecutive games, and I knew if he got to a place that could, you know, build his profile up, people were going to see what kind of a winner he is. His size for me is a little problematic. You know, Kyler Murray is Kyler Murray. That's, you know, he's the precedent. He's not the rule, right? So as a collegiate quarterback, Derek King and the Miami Hurricanes, Manny Diaz has found his guy. Now we're going to find out a lot when they play Clemson in terms of what the elite of the elite look like in the ACC. As for Kyle Trask, you know, hey, Dan Mullen does a tremendous job with quarterbacks. He always has. He's an Urban Meyer disciple. He's produced great players, and he continues to build great programs. Let's put it that way. And Florida may be in a position this year to vie for the SEC title, and Kyle Trask is leading this team the best way he knows how.
And having tight end Kyle Pitts, the attack of the Kyles does not hurt him either. What's your prediction for Clemson-Miami this weekend?
Well, I mean, I visited Clemson before fall camp last year and spoke to the team, and there's just something different when you walk in that building. It's palpable. What Dabo Swinney has built there in terms of how they approach things, how they go about their business, the winning mentality. It's gonna take a lot. I haven't seen anything from Clemson that would lead me to believe that they don't win the game. They may not dominate, but I still think they're a double-digit winning football team this weekend.
Ryan, we've only got about 30 seconds left. There were whispers this week in Houston that Dabo Swinney could come to the Texans as a head coach. Do you see him as an NFL coach? He just seems like the right guy in the right place to me.
Yeah, me too. You know, he's pretty rigid in terms of his beliefs when it comes to what, you know, what players should be doing and how it goes about. And that doesn't necessarily work at the NFL level. Bill O'Brien certainly found that out this week. You have to be more understanding, and those boundaries have to be moved in that great coaching. We saw
Saban
served his time.
Ryan Leaf, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your being here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You bet.
It's
to Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Carla, one of the nice problems we have right now is there is so much going on in the world of sports. And we've spent most of this morning talking NFL. But by the way, there's some MLB playoffs and the Los Angeles Lakers may well become the NBA champions tonight.
It's a plethora. We have it's feast or famine. We're in feast right now.
I was reading how the NBA ratings are down, and there are all kinds of theories as to why. Certainly, the NBA having to go up against the NFL is a problem. I'm right. The finals are usually the playoffs and finals in June, and they're in that time of year, the NBA is just competing against an early baseball season. Now they're competing against the NFL and MLB playoffs.
Yeah, it's a tough time for the NBA. And you know, there was a five-month break, so there was a real pause in the middle there. But, you know, tonight the Lakers go into the bubble with a 3-1 lead over the Heat, you know, an injury-depleted Heat. They're not going to have Dragic again tonight.
Yeah.
And Bam Adebayo is back, but not totally himself. I don't know. Do you see this going to a game six?
No, I think it's over tonight. I actually, as I think about why the NBA ratings are down, part of it might be that this is just not a compelling series. I think coming in, everybody figured the Lakers would win it in four or five. It looks like it will be five. There might also be sort of LeBron fatigue. I mean, this guy has been at the top of the heap forever. He's not a fresh face to watch. And that Lakers team looked like it was sort of assembled by LeBron when you had AD and LeBron joining forces there, an agent orchestrating the exit of Anthony Davis from the Pelicans, going to the Lakers. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a wholesome,
it's not organic,
homegrown, organic
it's
team
not.
That has come together. It's not organic, but manufactured.
Right. And he set a precedent with that. He did it in Miami to play alongside his best buddy Dwayne Wade, and then you add Chris Bosh to that mix, and you saw what happened there. Goes back to Cleveland. He's got Kyrie. As soon as things got stale in Cleveland, he's off to L.A. And, you know, a year before LeBron came to L.A., the Lakers were already talking about getting Anthony Davis. And do you remember Anthony Davis' last game for the Pelicans? He wore a T-shirt that said, "That's all, folks."
That's all, folks.
That was pretty clear. So, no, it is not homegrown. It is not organic. It is put together just like the Clippers bringing in Kawhi, but Kawhi is not coming until Paul George is a done deal.
Right.
So I think it's just interesting to see a manufactured team versus a homegrown team like the Golden State Warriors that was done through the draft in many years.
Yep.
You know, they did add Kevin Durant, but that was after they broke the championship barrier. You know, you look at the Boston Celtics the same way. You know, it's very, you know, San Antonio Spurs. Homegrown. Tim
yep.
Duncan was their turnaround, you know, the first pick of the draft out of Wake Forest. And you see what they've done. So it doesn't feel the same to me. And when I hear LeBron say, you know, you're not really a Laker until you win a championship, I don't, given LeBron's unreal talent, I mean, the most talented in the NBA by far, all around talent, given his great ambassadorship for the NBA, all of that, I have nothing bad to say about that. It's all props. I just don't feel like he's a Laker. I feel like he's borrowed all the traditions to yet get his, you know, his 10th championship, which he's probably going to get tonight.
Well, of course, most of the guys with many championships won them with one team. And certainly that includes Jordan and Bird and Magic and so on and so on. LeBron has won it with three teams now, or will. And that is a bit different.
It's a bit different. And you bring up Jordan because there's always the question, you know, comparing LeBron and Jordan. After seeing The Last Dance, I think we got an inside look on Jordan, which was so absolutely incredible. And you saw what a fierce competitor he is at everything, whether it's throwing quarters against the wall with a security guard.
Yeah.
Everything was a competition. Where I really think you cannot make a comparison. Just don't do it. No one touches Michael. Is you see what happens to LeBron James. In game four, game three, they lose to the Heat. And what does he do? He walks off the court. He doesn't shake hands. He leaves the game early and makes excuses about it. You see where many a times the coach is talking. This happened in Cleveland. The coach is talking with David Blatt and Ty Lue, talking to the team when LeBron is on it. And LeBron is sitting three seats away, like, I don't need to listen to this. LeBron changes the call on the coach when he doesn't like it. LeBron, when he go to game one against the Lakers in the finals 2 years ago, when J.R. Smith had that awful miscue at the end and cost them the game, LeBron goes into the locker room, punches the whiteboard, and his hand is not the same for the whole series. They ultimately go on to lose to the Golden State Warriors. Do you see Michael Jordan doing any of that kind of diva behavior?
No, I guess I can't. LeBron has been so good for so long,
he
but
is.
He's not as beloved, it seems to me, as some of these other legends that we've talked about. And I don't really know that I can put my finger on it. Maybe it's all of what you just described. Maybe it goes back to his decision to leave Cleveland for South Beach. But he's not really had that kind of following, that all-in fervor for him as a player and as an individual that some of these other names have had.
I think the point you brought up is such a good one, that these players, you look at these great players over time, you know, Larry Bird, you look at Magic Johnson, Kareem, you look at Michael Jordan, and you, even though they did play for more than one team, but just for very briefly, you think of Larry Bird as a Celtic, and Michael Jordan as a Bull, Magic Johnson as a Laker. You don't, they're not team hopping.
Right.
You think of Stephen Clay as Warriors,
right.
You know, this kind of thing. There is something to that.
And, of course, that's happened across the league. It's not just a LeBron phenomenon.
Sure.
There are now players like Kevin Durant bouncing around.
Absolutely.
And certainly you saw
Kyrie.
That with Kawhi. Yeah, Leonard moving. And
yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a part of the league today.
Championship chasing.
And maybe there just won't be people who are revered for having stayed in one team like Michael Jordan did or like Larry Bird did going forward. Maybe that's just the new NBA.
And I think you're exactly right. It's a super team era.
More of a player-driven league.
Yes.
It's rather the teams building the assembly of players, the players getting together and building a team. And it is from the bottoms up a little bit more.
Yeah, it's very true. And your LeBron fatigue is not going to get less because he's going to be on the front of a Wheaties box, actually.
Well,
I
have no doubt.
That's coming up next.
That's
yes,
sort of overdue, frankly.
And they broke tradition. Wheaties broke tradition. They're actually adding photos of him. It's pretty cool. And images of him and the staff of his I Promise school, which is, you know, really, that's what he started in Akron. And it's very cool where they take academically at-risk kids. Not only do they mentor them through a high school diploma, but they give them a free college education, which is, what can you say, amazing.
He's done amazing things, absolutely, on the court and off the court.
Yeah.
All right, we've got to talk a little MLB before we miss out here.
Yes, we do.
Because, of course, congrats to the Astros. They move on to the ALCS. Congrats to the Dodgers with their sweep. Those were
and the Braves swept the Marlins.
And the Braves are now in.
So the NLCS is set. We've got Atlanta versus L.A. and the Dodgers. So that's going to be exciting. The Astros are awaiting the hard-fought series between Tampa Bay and the Yankees.
Astros on their redemption tour, right?
Yeah.
Is anybody looking back at last year? Does it matter anymore?
No, the Astros aren't. But nobody wants to see, nobody outside of Houston wants to see the success that the Astros are having. But what I love about this COVID situation, the only thing I love about it, it's horrific any way that you look at it, is that there are no fans in the stands.
Yep.
So you can hear a trash can banging. And they and they are not in their home stadium. There are no cameras. They own Dodger Stadium yet again. In this series with Oakland, to me, has been the better team. I mean, they won 7 out of the 10 meetings this year against Houston. In this series alone, 33 runs and 12 home runs in this four-game series. The Astros are the real deal. There is no cheating allowed. Haterade, put it down. Stop drinking it. They're moving on.
When I look at this Astros team, though, the thing I struggle with just mentally is, of course, a year ago, their big three, Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole, Zach Greinke, and all three are gone in some sense. I mean, Greinke's still there, but Greinke's not pitching like he did last year. He's not the same guy. So you've got a little three this year versus a big three last year, yet the little three have performed pretty well.
They have done amazing. And credit Dusty Baker as the manager, and credit Brett Strom, the pitching coach. I mean, Ryan, you know, Robert Osuna, their closer,
yep.
You know, he's been out. Ryan Pressly has been money. They've had Blake Taylor, the Christian Javier, incredible. Framber Valdez. Who are these names to anyone who is not a rabid Astros fan?
If you're not in Houston, you don't know those guys.
You don't know. And you know what? They have been absolute money.
Yep.
You just got to hand it to them. It's really impressive what they've done. It's going to be tough, especially with these games back-to-back. I mean, Monday through Friday was set for the five-game series, and there's no rest. So it's been tough on these arms, but wow, the bats have been flying. And I want to say, Carlos Correa, to me, has stepped up as a natural leader, not only in the locker room and with the media, but on the field. He batted over 500 last night with five ribbies. Unreal.
Very impressive. Yes.
He is showing up. He is showing up and showing off. And Jose Altuve broke through last night. Michael Brantley, two home runs.
The lineup is on fire.
Wow. I don't know if these balls are juiced or what, but because the A's are having great success on the home run side too. But here's the difference in that series to me. Oakland doesn't know what to do in a postseason. They haven't had a lot of success there in about 11 years. And when you have an experienced team like the Astros that do know what to do, that's the difference. And I wonder if that's what we'll see with the Yankees in Tampa Bay as well.
Well, great matchup here. Gerrit Cole will take the mound against Glasnow for the Rays, both of them coming up on short rest. They're not going to sit around. They've got to get out for a Game 5.
Yeah, and this is a repeat of Game 5 last year when Cole was with the Astros. It was Cole versus Glasnow that sent the Tampa Bay Rays home. So let's see if they're going home tonight at the hands of Gerrit Cole. Who knows?
Well, remember, Gerrit Cole was unhappy last year when A.J. Hinch didn't let him come on to finish a Game 7. Now he gets the ball on, what, 3 days' rest?
3 days' rest, and Glasnow's 2 days' rest.
Yeah, these guys are going to be fatigued after this. I mean, once they get into the ALCS, whomever wins, their pitching staffs will be pretty beat up. That's got to be a factor in the next series.
Oh, it is, for sure. Who do you like in the Braves-Dodgers series? There's a lot of home runs flying around those two rosters.
I'll tell you what, the Braves have impressed me. They're a very complete team. But all along, at the beginning of the year, I thought the Dodgers were the team. And Joe Kelly's pitching well for them out of the bullpen. I'm going to go with the Dodgers.
Well, gosh, they've got the Mookie factor.
Oh, they have the Mookie factor.
That's like bringing in Mike Trout to your already loaded roster.
Right,
I mean, really, he has been so impressive. And he gives them an amazing lift and swagger and confidence. And, you know, Clayton Kershaw has pitched well, which is not typically his deal in the postseason.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens there. But I love me some Atlanta. That Freddie Freeman, oh, my gosh, I love that guy. So it's going to be Acuna. It's going to be a great series.
All right, when we come back, we will look ahead at the week that's coming. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to Football Friday with The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Well, we have covered the landscape of sports over the last couple of hours. It's been really fun.
Well, I didn't get to one thing that I really want to ask you.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yep.
Okay, you're a Cradle Cowboys fan.
Yes.
So Aaron Rodgers is having an unbelievable season, and I mean, he's playing free and easy with basically Devontae Adams out and not a lot of weapons around him. Then you look at your Cowboys. This is Aaron's old coach, Mike McCarthy, goes to Dallas. They're sitting at 1-3 and looking really dismal. Is this an indictment on Mike McCarthy as a head coach?
Ooh, I hope not. I mean, Cowboys could easily be 0-4. They had the one miraculous win against the Falcons. My biggest gripe with Mike McCarthy thus far is the defensive coordinator he brought in, Mike Nolan, because the defense looks miserable. And they do have some players on that team. They have DeMarcus Lawrence. Alden Smith has been really outstanding. He may be the comeback player of the year. Jalen Smith has pedigree, although he's not played well. But the defense is what's been so frustrating. In addition to the fact that the Cowboys have turned the ball over and over again, and they've got, I guess, 9 turnovers in 4 games. You can't win that way in the NFL. If the Cowboys turn it around, it's going to be because they take care of the football and they outscore a lot of teams, because that defense looks really poor at this moment.
It looks poor. And, you know, Dak is continuing to set NFL records week after week. Ezekiel is continuing to drop that ball week after week. I say take his $90 million contract, give it to Dak.
Well, they're going to have to pay Dak a lot of money in the offseason if he keeps playing at the current level. I really think Dak Prescott does better. I know this sounds odd, but he does better when they're behind, when they go into a, sort of a fast break offense, a no huddle offense, when he gets into a rhythm, when it's not mechanical, but it becomes fluid. And you've seen that from him in the last few games. When they get behind two or three touchdowns, they're going to pass every play. They spread the field. He gets better looks down the field. He doesn't hold on to the ball as long as he does when he's running play action. And the Cowboys offense has so many weapons.
Oh, my
goodness.
It's
very exciting. The one big problem for the Cowboys, of course, is it looks like perhaps both their offensive tackles are done for the year. Collins on the right side, Tyron Smith on the left side. Tyron Smith, his season's hanging in the balance. We're waiting to hear
a
word
neck injury,
on whether he'll come back.
I hate to tell you, I think he's done for the year.
So that would mean that they would have lost both their tackles. This has been a tough, tough season for the NFL, losing lots of star quality players. I mean, look at the 49ers, the defending champs from the NFC, and they're not going to be a playoff team because of injuries.
No, and the guy that they brought in to back up Nick Bosa, who's out with an ACL, tore his biceps. I mean, it is just bad luck, Charlie. It's tough. You know, lots of ACLs, lots of Achilles, but this neck thing for Tyron Smith, that's a serious issue too.
Thanks so much for being with us. It's been a ball. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss. Thank you, Ron, behind the glass. You're listening to us on the Sports Map Radio Network.